So are you ready
for your show?
Hola, baby. Soy Little Steven. Bienvenido a Little Steven's Underground Garage and Rock FM.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Hola familia, buenas noches. Soy Carlos Medina y un domingo más volvemos a juntarnos a las puertas del Underground Garage de Little Steven aquí en Rock FM. Esta noche el guitarrista de Springsteen quería comenzar recordando a una pareja de músicos que destacaron de forma sobresaliente en el conocido como surf rock, que además popularizaron The Beach Boys. Nos referimos a Jan Berry y Dean Torrens, o lo que es lo mismo, Jan and Dean. De ellos se dice que incluso el punk rock podría remontarse hasta ellos. Enseguida conoceremos más de su historia. De momento, si te parece, le damos la bienvenida a Little Steven. Para ello contamos con música muy acorde, por cierto, a nuestra presentación. There's No Surf in Cleveland. Son Euclid Beach Band, sonando aquí en Rock FM. Buenas noches, Stevie. Comienza el Underground Garage.
We'll be right back.
Dan Barry and Dean Torrance were both on their high school football team, and their lockers were next to each other. That's how destiny works. And like a bad movie, they began harmonizing in the showers. You know, because of the echo of the tiles and all that. Jan set up a tape machine in the garage, and friends like Bruce Johnston and drummer Sandy Nelson would hang out, and they would record a record called Jenny Lee. Jan took it to a proper studio to get a disc cut of it, and somebody in the studio heard it, and continuing this bad movie script, this guy actually put it out, and it went to number 3 on the national charts, 1958. That's how life's supposed to work, right? Except it was credited to Jan and Arnie, as in Ginsberg, because Dean had temporarily gone into military service. But anyway, Dean comes out, Arnie goes surfing, and Dean and Jan hook back up with Herb Alpert and Lou Adler, and they do a record called Baby Talk, which goes to number 7. Unbelievable. Next, they start listening to the Four Seasons and begin using that high falsetto voice, and they have a third hit with Linda. Meanwhile, Dick Dale, the Marquettes, and the Duels are making surf instrumentals into hits, 1961, in the local California area. And now here comes the Beach Boys, who rework the bass vocal line of Jan and Dean's Baby Talk and write a song called Surfing in the Jan and Dean style. But they're all friendly, they start doing gigs together, and Jan Barry and Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys start writing together. And by 1963, between the two groups, they had Surf City, Surfin' Safari, Surfin' USA, Surfer Girl, Surfin' Pastrami, I don't know. It was a big deal because up until then, New York had a lock on the pop charts. It was the first time the West Coast really asserted itself, except for those garage nuts up in the Northwest, of course. Their co-writers would include Roger Christian, Bruce Johnston, Terry Melcher, Gary Usher. Jan and Dean would have 7 top 10 hits and another 9 in the top 40. They would have had a lot more if Jan didn't crash his Stingray into a gardener's truck on Whittier Boulevard, leaving him with brain damage and physical disabilities. But he miraculously fought his way back from them, and they toured again in the early 80s, becoming the first American artist to play China. The Beach Boys had the bigger hits and got the worldwide recognition, which they deserved, but it was Jan and Dean that led the way. As far as we in New Jersey were concerned, they did the impossible. They made California cool.
Jag slide into the curve. I know I'll never forget that horrible sight. I guess I found out for myself that everyone was right.
Won't come back from Dead Man's Curve.
Yeah. its prime. May have to finish it after crossing the line. Dusty old wine, 2 files at a time. An inch of black mud always left behind.
Mike Mills of REM, and you're with Little Steven in the Underground Garage, a very cool place to be.
I know you say maybe someday I need never be alone. I know I say it's the right way, but you'll never be the one. Walking alone now for a long, long time. I don't wanna hang out now with the friends who just aren't mine. Party to party, you've been looking, but your search will never end. You've been hanging with
Steve, what I need the money for is a surfboard.
A surfboard?
A surfboard. I mean, I'm a perfectly good swimmer and jabby, extra super careful. Oh, please. Now, honest, surfing is out of this world. You just can't imagine the thrill of shooting the curl. Well, it positively surpasses every living emotion I've ever had.
You must admit, dear, she does make it sound attractive.
Well, I don't mind learning my daughter enjoys the pleasures of an outdoor sport.
I am the author. I outrank you!
Everything I can, I give it you to
Dead Man's Curve by Jan and Dean would ironically foreshadow Jan's real accident 2 years later, April 12, 1966. Frighteningly accurate. Written by Jan, Roger Christian, Brian Wilson, and Artie Kornfeld, who would later go on to do that Woodstock thing. And Old Red Wine, written by Pete Townsend, about John Entwistle, produced by his brother Simon. And All the Right Friends from R.E.M. It's actually an old song, but I'd never heard it before, and I think it's one of their best.
Ty Segall would break a guitar. The album is eponymous and also named after him. He wrote it, sings it, plays guitar. Steve Albini produced it. Get it from ty-segall.com.
I Can Only Give You Everything. Yes, you have heard that riff stolen by hundreds of people. Them is where it originated. Van Morrison's first group. From their second album on Decca, 1966, written by Phil Coulter and Tommy Scott, and produced by Tommy. A lot of rumors as to who was playing on that record, and, you know, we'll never get to the bottom of it, but I personally think it's the band, because of the mistake in that last verse. All right, we'll be back in a minute. I'm going to go get a cup of coffee right now. We'll be back.
Sigues en Rock FM y esto es el Underground Garage de Little Steven. Vamos a aprovechar este ratito de radio para recordar a un artista que hace bien poquito cumplió años. Según Little Steven, nos referimos a uno de los reyes del garage punk, el señor Iggy Pop, quien cumplió 70 el pasado 21 de abril. De Iggy se dice que es uno de los grandes pioneros de lo que acabaría siendo el punk rock. Son especialmente célebres sus actuaciones en directo con la banda de Stooges, sobre todo porque Iggy Pop enloquecía sobre el escenario, llegando incluso a lastimarse a sí mismo, consecuencia de esos histriónicos movimientos tan característicos del señor Pop. Más allá de la música de Iggy Pop, también ha trabajado como actor en series y películas y también participado en bandas sonoras e incluso ha ejercido como el icono que es en películas como Trainspotting, donde el personaje de Ewan McGregor, Renton, le tiene realmente como uno de sus grandes ídolos. Pero no me enrollo más, casi mejor que nos lo cuente Little Steven. ¡Dale, Stevie!
Welcome back to the Underground Garage Rock and Roll Dance Party. We will occasionally elect somebody our Freak of the Week. It's the highest accolade we pay, and usually it's tied to their birthday. And this week it is the undisputed king of garage punk himself, Iggy Pop. He grew up James Osterberg in a trailer park in Muskegon, Michigan.
started playing drums in a stonesy, themsy garage band called the Iguanas. That's where Iggy came from. In 68, he formed the Stooges with Ron and Scott Ashton and Dave Alexander. Their music could not have been more out of step with the times. As record production became incredibly sophisticated, the Stooges remained minimalist. As the world sang, "All You Need Is Love," they were doing "I Want to Be Your Dog." As lyrics became more intelligent and crafted and personal, they called themselves the Stooges. Looking back, it is obvious to this reporter that it took great courage when, as the culture looked up to Aldous Huxley, Walt Whitman, and the recent memory of John F. Kennedy, their heroes were Moe, Larry, and Curly. It was the MC5 and the Doors and the Rolling Stones and the early Who and the Kinks, and the Stooges would reduce it all to No Fun, Raw Power, and Search and Destroy. They were the original comic book characters that would create the punk movement 10 years later, and Iggy's pure abandon on stage would pay a tribal mystical tribute to Jim Morrison and especially Mick Jagger, who single-handedly freed all the skinny little white boys to let it loose. James Williamson would later be added to the mix, and David Bowie would show his world-class class by being grateful enough to help Iggy when the drugs started to take over. Iggy Pop has influenced everybody who matters. He is still the best performer in rock and roll and an inspiration to anybody who still gets a twitch in their pants when they hear this.
Oh, Hello, Dr. D. Chris Dreher here. You are listening to a man of impeccable taste in music, Little Steven in the Underground Garage.
Spread around against me. Evil heart and you, you kept kidding me along with your phony smile and with your siren song. Smiling because you lead me on till all hope's gone. Degrading on my knees, I try to please. But I love you just the same, and I want you to remain by my side, and you'll see just how much you.
At supper time, you're hungry again. Everything tastes good, and you're eating well. See what good eating habits can do for you? What? You're asking for seconds. After supper, you feel fine. No stomach ache, not too tired, not hungry. Just feeling fine. And that's the way we all want to feel all the time, isn't it?
Is an old-time mechanic. Spends an evening with a doll, and the next day she sends him $50,000.
Yeah, some girls is grateful.
True.
Yeah. I had a grateful girl once.
Yeah?
Yeah, she was a help nut. Uh-huh. Every time I took her out on a date, the next day she sent me a bucket of yogurt. I still think I got some stashed away someplace.
Betrayed and feeling abandoned. You're not alone. We is a place that I know. The price of salvation is your loneliness. And you can call me when you're ready.
Started that set with my favorite Iggy Pop song out of all the cool things he's ever done, Cold Metal. Well, I think it was his ninth album, Instinct, 1988 on A&M. Written by Iggy and produced by Bill Laswell. And that is Stevie Jones on guitar. Yardbirds up next. Classic British Invasion with Evil Hearted You from Having a Rave Up with the Yardbirds, one of their many hastily slapped together albums. Written by the legendary Graham Gouldman and produced by the equally legendary Giorgio Gomelsky.
Forever My Baby, The Dolmans, The Bosses from Moss, Norway. Written by Andy Chernoff, and Andy singing on it also. Chris Fraley producing. Get it from popdetective.com.
Our house band, The Ramones. Next with Outsider from Subterranean Jungle. 1983. That one written by Dee Dee.
Soulfire, title track from Little Steven's new one, revisiting his soul roots. Go to littlesteven.com. Tell you all about it.
Be mentally prepared for a very unusual set of more slow ones than we usually play. But they're really cool.
Seguimos juntos en el Underground Garage de Little Steven aquí en Rock FM. Hace un momento hemos recordado el cumpleaños de Iggy Pop, quien sopló 70 velas el pasado 21 de abril. Pues bien, un día antes, el 20 de abril, pero de 1943, nació Edie Sedgwick, quien fuera una de las grandes musas del artista Andy Warhol, formando parte de The Factory, el estudio que tenía Warhol en Manhattan y en el que tan pronto pintaban las famosas serigrafías como filmaban una película de cine experimental de la que en este caso, por ejemplo, nuestra protagonista Edie Sedgwick fue también protagonista en varias ocasiones. Pero Edie dio por finalizada su colaboración con Andy Warhol, comenzando también una sólida amistad con Bob Dylan, hasta el punto de que se dice que fue ella en quien se inspiró Dylan para componer el clásico Like a Rolling Stone. Edie Sedgwick falleció a los 28 años, muy jovencita, por abusar una noche de barbitúricos que le habían sido también, eso es cierto, recetados por los dolores que sufría. El juez decretó su fallecimiento como causa indeterminada / accidente / suicidio. En fin, quién sabe lo que ocurrió aquella noche. Dale, maestro.
You know what? We're going to have a co-freak of the week. Not because this person is as important as Iggy is, in any kind of way, but this person did one thing that is historically very important. According to the relentless research done by our staff on crack, our crack staff, she inspired the lyrics to Like a Rolling Stone. How about that? Not to mention possibly Just Like a Woman and Leopardskin Pillbox Hat.
perhaps most important of all. Edie Sedgwick was born April 20th, 1943, 4 years and 1 day before Iggy, into a blue blood family from Stockbridge, Massachusetts, with a history of mental illness. The doctors at the mental institution where her father was housed before his marriage to her mother advised them to never have children. So, of course, they had eight. She became anorexic while attending Cambridge University in 1962, and while visiting a psychiatrist because of that, she met Chuck Ween. Ween began to informally manage her, and they moved to New York, where Edie would become part of Andy Warhol's inner circle. Warhol started putting her in his bizarre art movies, Vinyl, Beauty No. 2, and The Chelsea Girls, none of which would be seen by many, but those who saw them were very impressed by her. She began going with a painter from Cambridge named Bob Neuwirth, who would become Bob Dylan's right-hand man. Dylan, Neuwirth, and Dylan's manager, Albert Grossman, told her to leave Andy Warhol and start a real career in film, because the Warhol and Dylan camps hated each other, and eventually Dylan would win the battle. She had a crush on him, and Grossman supposedly promised her a film where they both would co-star. And Andy Warhol would become the Napoleon in rags in Like a Rolling Stone, as that record gave birth to a whole new art form called rock, introducing beat poetry and personal expression for the first time to pop music. The film would never happen, and she would try modeling for a while with Vogue magazine, but her drug use worsened. In 1970, she would shoot her last movie, Chow Manhattan, and in it she would film a scene receiving shock treatments. A few months later, she would receive real shock treatments in the same clinic they used to film the movie, and would die of an accidental barbiturate overdose at the age of 28. Her black tights and shirts with tails would define the look of the 60s underground hip chick, and her intelligence and sexual radiance would inspire a brilliant poet's best work, as well as inspiring a few other very cool things.
We'll be right back. Keith Richards here, and we're with the little Stephen in the underground garage.
Just
like art, theater, music, language, religion, politics?
No, I don't like politics.
What languages do you speak?
None? English, I'm afraid.
You understand French?
No.
I'm going to give you a little bit of French. J'ai le toit près de toi, j'ai le genou de toi. J'ai le temps commencé, j'ai touché les faux. J'ai...
Sounds awful. What is it?
It was so dirty, I can't tell you.
Touched your golden hair and tasted your perfume. Your eyes were filled with love the way they used to be. Your gentle hand reached out to comfort me.
Started that set with The Cult and their tribute to Edie Sedgwick from their classic 1989 album Sonic Temple, written by singer Ian Astbury and guitarist Billy Duffy, Bob Rock producing, with background vocals on that album by Edie's fellow freak of the week, Iggy Pop. The Rolling Stones were next with Gomper from their very underrated Satanic Majesty's Request. Worth the price of admission just for the album cover. A lot of cool stuff on that record, actually, in between the completely mindless noises and semi-quasi-jamming. But there's a bunch of great songs in there, actually. Get Away From Me, The Dogs, their fourth album, Death by Drowning, out now. Singer and guitar player Christopher and Mads wrote it. The band produced it. Get it from thedogs.no. And we close the set with the star-spangled banner of psychedelic garage rock. I Had Too Much to Dream Last Night by Electric Prunes. And what they were doing on Frank Sinatra's label in 1967, I can't even imagine. Written by Annette Tucker and Nancy Mance and produced by the legendary Dave Hassinger. who was the Stones engineer on all their RCA stuff. We can't follow that, so we're going to a commercial, but our commercials are very short, so don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Llegó el momento de descubrir el clásico del Underground Garage, la canción más chula de la semana. Esta noche la presentan los neoyorquinos Blondie, My Monster. Es la canción más chula de la semana, que además es uno de los temas que incluye su nuevo disco Pollinator y que verá la luz dentro de muy poquito, el próximo viernes 5 de mayo. Lo dicho, la canción más chula de la semana, aquí en Rock FM. Todo tuyo, Little.
You know what that sound means. Take out your phone, open up the Shazam app, and Shazam us right now. Our coolest song in the world this week comes from Brooklyn, New York. Please welcome back to the Underground Garage stage, Blondie.
Just wait, yeah, you just wait and so- people got some strange ideas on how life should be lived and things should be done. But I'm here to say you gotta do just what you want. And when they start of that talk, talk, talking, remember just one thing.
Button. I was afraid you might have brought Mike with you. Ah, that sucker. He's too busy going to school. He's learning how to be poor.
We want it right now. This is Dino Danelli from The Rascals, and you're with Little Steven in the Underground Garage.
Yeah! I admit you got the biggest brown eyes, and you know how to part your lips to tantalize. Sure.
I point out that I had an opportunity to observe your counterparts here quite closely. They were brutal, savage, unprincipled, uncivilized, treacherous, in every way, splendid examples of Homo sapiens, the very flower of humanity. I found them quite refreshing.
I'm not sure, but I think we've been insulted.
I'm sure.
Rockin' rollin', gotta stop, Junior's here.
behave yourself.
We started that set with our coolest song in the world this week, My Monster, from Blondie, written by Johnny Marr from The Smiths, produced by John Congleton. Blondie these days are Debbie Harry, Chris Stein, Clem Burke, Lee Fox, Matt Katz Bowen, and Tommy Kessler. It's their first new album in about 3 years. Mixture of things on it, but this is the coolest track. Our coolest song in the world this week, My Monster, from Blondie.
From The Remains, another absolutely classic garage band out of Boston. You remember them, Barry and The Remains. Garage Nugget, Don't Look Back. Written by Billy Vera. Produced by Ted Cooper. Cool stuff there. Influenced the whole Boston scene to follow.
Jeff Beck with Right Now. Rosie Bones singing. And co-wrote it with Jeff and Carmen Vandenberg, her usual guitar player from her own band. Nice combination. The album is Loud Hailer. Get it from JeffBeckOfficial.com.
The Rascals did I Ain't Gonna Eat Out My Heart Anymore, the very first song anybody heard from them. And that's all I needed to hear. That was the coolest thing I had ever heard. Eddie Brigati's voice, Gene's cool guitar solo. Forget it. They were called the Young Rascals when they started. And that was engineered by Tom Dowd. And Roy Sakala was in there too. Gene, Dino, Felix, and Eddie. With Eddie's brother Dave Brigati doing some harmonies in the background there. And we close the set with the Larry Williams classic Bad Boy. Fantastic version by the Beatles. We'll be back.
Esto es el Underground Garage de Little Steven aquí en Rock FM. Reconozco que cada show me sorprende más que el anterior. Stevie suele siempre guardarse un as en la manga en lo que a cultura pop se refiere, o eso dice él, por lo menos. Verás, resulta que enseguida le escucharemos repasar la historia, atención, de las primeras lavanderías. Sí, sí, conocidas en Estados Unidos como Laundromat y en Texas, concretamente, como Wash Eightiria. Y es que resulta que fue en aquel estado donde se fundó en 1934 la primera lavandería que además funcionaba las 24 horas. Aquel estreno tuvo lugar en la localidad de Fort Worth, en Texas, aunque bueno, casi mejor que nos lo cuente Little Steven, que para eso ha elegido el tema. Dale, maestro.
Wait, this just in. File this story under You Might Be a Redneck If You Invented the Washateria. April 18, 1934, the first public laundromat opens in Fort Worth, Texas. This major event followed the news that ashes containing the fat of sacrificed animals on Sapo Hill in Rome were found to have good cleaning powers. They called it soap, actually in Italian, sopa. The scrub board would soon follow, 2,000 years later, 1797. Another 100 years or so passed before William Blackstone built a wooden tub with 6 wooden pegs for his wife's birthday. You cranked the handle that would move the pegs and snag the clothes in the soapy water, and before you knew it, the first washing machine was invented. I'm sure Mrs. Blackstone was very romantically impressed by that gift. You know, he didn't get any that night.
I was the lucky one.
go on to my favorite part of the song. Will you admit that you're wrong? I was the lucky one, hidden secrets not telling mine. I keep them in a box, accompanied by the rock.
Here he comes now. Let's ask him. Hey, Murray, is it true Betty's wearing your ring?
Mm-hmm. Who's that banging on the piano?
I don't know.
You going out with her tonight?
You bet your firm.
By the way, where'd you meet her?
I met her one day at the laundromat.
She turned around and smiled at me. You get the picture?
Yes, we see.
And that's when I fell in love with the leader of the laundromat. We're always putting her down,
down, down,
because our laundry came back brown,
brown, brown.
I don't care if they think she's bad. I fell in love 'cause she looks so sad.
I got a date tonight with the leader of the laundromat.
Dang it.
My dad said, find a laundry that's new.
Find a laundry that's new.
How can I tell my baby we're through?
Tell my baby we're through.
Gonna drive right into town. I don't care if my shirts are brown.
I got a date tonight with the leader of the laundromat.
When I finally got there, I told her it was all over between us. I'll never forget the hurt and the funny look in her eye. She grabbed my laundry and ran into the street, directly into the path of a runaway garbage truck. I yelled, watch out, watch out, watch out, watch out! Dang it.
I felt so messy standing there.
Messy standing there.
My daddy's shorts were everywhere.
Daddy's shorts were everywhere.
Tenderly I kissed her goodbye. Picked up my clothes, they were finally dry. But I won't forget your love, oh leader of the laundromat.
That banging on the piano?
I don't know.
We figured it 17 different ways, and every time we figured it, it was no good, because no matter how we figured it, somebody don't like the way we figured it. So now there's only one way to figure it, and that is every man including the old bag, for himself.
So good luck and may the best man win.
Right. Except you, lady. May you just drop dead.
Window and the last door closed at 4 a.m. and the last telephone slammed at the wall in reply and the last furnished room emptied down to the last piece of mental furniture, a yellow paper rose twisted on a wire hanger in the closet, and even that imaginary, nothing but a hopeful little bit of hallucination.
Tonight.
lying.
Sure, but he's not the slob we're after. I mean, look at his bona fides.
Yeah, right.
Oh, you changed, Frank. Now, a computer salesman from Southern California, the wife, two kids, and a split level in Encino.
He's entirely innocent. Why won't he tell us the truth?
Yeah, okay, you go home to Lillian, okay? You tell her that you're going to spend 3 hours with a buxom stacked blonde in a motel room, right? Let me know what she's going to tell you.
Started that set with Hot Rocks. Yeah, second coolest song from their new album, Getaway. Kato Thomason producing. Ingvild, Linda, Johanna, Mona, and Cecily. The always sexy laundrettes.
From that fair city of Oslo. And a very clean city, may I add. That was followed by the equally clean Detergents and the leader of the laundromat. A very important record for the Detergents. That record actually went to number 19 on the Billboard charts. Now, singer Ron Dante went on to bigger and better things as one of the lead singers of the Archies and was all the voices for the Cufflinks and then became a jingle singer and really made some money. The song was written and produced by hit songwriters Paul Vance and Lee Pockris. They also wrote Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini, which was a number one hit for Brian Hyland in 1960, if you're keeping score. Alex Chilton and Big Star did With My Babies Beside Me from their first record called Number One Record, 1972.
Never Wanted to Know
Bash and Pop, Tommy Stinson's band. It is their second record, a mere 25 years after their first. And it's still very consistent, though. Tommy wrote and produced it, and you can get it from TommyStinson.com.
And Hang On Sloopy, the great McCoy's hit. It was originally a Strange Love track. They cut it and then discovered the band and threw them on there, and it came out on Burt Burns' label, Bang Records. Cool stuff.
You know what that sound means. Take out your phone, open up the Shazam app, and Shazam us right now.
Now I have to face stupid reality again.
We want to thank the Seminole Hard Rock Cafes, Hotels, and Casinos worldwide. Been there with us from the beginning. Jimmy Allen and the gang. And our special thanks to the Seminole Native Americans, coolest Indian tribe ever. Our new distributor is Sun Broadcast Group. I want to thank Ron Rivlin, who does the U.S., and Jessica D'Agostine. Radio Express does the international affiliates. So if somebody gets you a radio station for Christmas, call Ron or Jessica, and you can have this show and be the coolest cat on your block. You can get the Underground Garage app at iTunes or Google Play. You can go to facebook.com/undergroundgarage or undergroundgarage.com. You can tweet me at Stevie Van Zandt. Please don't do it if you're a twittiot. Yes, I had to make that name up. I'm lucky. I get more friends than not. And of course, if you're looking for any kind of fab gear, you know, vintage equipment or new stuff or anything having to do with guitars or keyboards or drums or anything having to do with rock and roll, you got to go to Andy Babiuk's fabgear.com. Babiuk is B-A-B-I-U-K, emphasis on the U-K. You can Shazam us during the coolest song or credits and win some stuff. And special thanks, of course, to Alan Freed. See you next week.
And that's the name of that tune.
Ciao, baby.
Nice ride.
Go back to Jersey, you moron!
That's entertainment. That's entertainment.
Bueno, familia, llegamos al final del Underground Garage de esta noche. Un show, la verdad, que catalogaría como peculiar. Hemos tenido tiempo de todo un poco, por ejemplo, de recordar el cumpleaños del señor Iggy Pop, incluso también de repasar un poquito la historia del surf rock con Jan Andin, y también de recordar ese evento que fue el estreno de la primera lavandería en Estados Unidos, concretamente en Texas, que además funcionaba 24 horas al día, ni más ni menos. En fin, espero que hayas disfrutado de un buen show aquí en el Underground Garage de Rock FM junto a Little Steven. Yo soy Carlos Medina, si te apetece. Nos encontramos dentro de una semana, el próximo domingo, a partir de las 10 de la noche en el Underground Garage aquí en Rock FM. Hasta entonces, por supuesto, que tengas una fantástica semana. Un abrazo. Buenas noches.